Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this episode is sponsored in part by DigitalOcean. That's right, a simple, straightforward, understandable cloud provider with a minimum of fuss, without 8 million services you don't understand that requires 12 weeks of training apiece, just relatively simple building blocks you can use to make something great. And also a managed Kubernetes service. But that's my snark, not theirs. To learn more, visit do.co/morning. That's do.co/morning. Now, what happened last week in the world of AWS? Well, quite a lot, as it turns out. Amazon CloudWatch Synthetics is now generally available. That's right, you can now monitor your applications, various websites, and contribute to the ever-increasing AWS Bill CloudWatch line item now that Synthetics has gone generally available. Amazon Connect now enables customers to interrupt Amazon Lex chatbots. That's nothing. Google's sales policy has been permitting their employees to interrupt actual customers for years now with condescending objections. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility adds support for cluster deletion protection using AWS CloudFormation. You can now set CloudFormation to prevent you from accidentally deleting all of your data when using DocumentDB. Keeping you from accidentally deleting all of your data is, incidentally, a notable incompatibility with upstream MongoDB. Amazon EKS Managed Node Groups allow fully private cluster networking. The window closes on your opportunity to be forced into making mistakes with both billing and security implications with managed Kubernetes. Amazon RDS is now available in the Los Angeles AWS local zone. As we see more and more services come online in Los Angeles, we're gaining insight into just how a lot of these things might work under the hood. It's really interesting to look at the region table and see what is versus is not supported there. Amazon Redshift introduces support for multi-factor authentication. This release taught me that as much as I think I understand AWS's various authentication offerings and how to secure them properly, in fact, I absolutely do not. Amazon Route 53 supports domain name transfer between AWS accounts. Rejoice, you can now move your database tables between AWS accounts. If you schedule this to happen at least once every 12 hours, your table storage will be free instead of 50 cents per table. Amazon SageMaker now supports INF1 or INF1 instances, providing high performance and cost-effective machine learning inference. Amazon's pretty excited about this one. Given what machine learning projects cost in terms of cloud spend, I'd be pretty excited if I were in their shoes, too. Announcing cost controls for Amazon Redshift Spectrum and concurrency scaling. I'm hopeful they have additional actions that are able to be undertaken during cost control, namely firing the entire data science team via the HR portal. Announcing general availability of Amazon Pinpoint Custom Channels. Creepy has a brand new playground, provided, of course, that Creepy is for some reason restricted to only using first-party AWS services for its various marketing activities. AWS Cost Explorer Right-Sizing Recommendations integrates with AWS Compute Optimizer. This is neat just because it provides recommendations from different angles. It's terrible because those recommendations will certainly not agree with each other all the time, and now it's even more confusing to figure out which recommendations you can actually trust, but hey, at least you're saving money. AWS Firewall Manager now supports organizational units for policy scoping. Meanwhile, basically nobody understands, appreciates, or even really likes the organizational unit structure for AWS organizations, but here we are, stuck with them anyway. AWS Ground Station is now available in the EU-Ireland region. This continues to amuse me just because there's only one region Ground Station really needs to support, and that is Earth orbit. EC2 Image Builder adds support for Ubuntu, RHEL, CentOS, and SLES. SLES, S-L-E-S. No one uses SUSE. It doesn't matter anyway. With this release, the open source community can stop complaining that AWS doesn't support open source and start complaining that AWS doesn't support their particular esoteric variant of open source instead. Exporting HTTP APIs as OpenAPI 3.0, now supported by Amazon API Gateway. The headline tells me nothing about what this release actually means, and neither does the linked release announcement. AWS continues to be willing to be misunderstood for long periods of time. Introducing Amazon Augmented AI, or A2I, for human reviews of machine learning predictions. Did the Augmented AI come up with the A2I name? It's proof that a name can in fact be so clever that it loops right back around into being stupid. Absolutely nobody will know what the hell you're talking about if you reference A2I in a conversation. And I'm betting that that's going to dramatically hinder service adoption. We'll see if I'm right. Introducing Amazon Linux 2 Ready Partners. If you're having trouble getting Amazon Linux 2 up and working, you can now consult with Amazon Linux 2 Ready Partners, such as Stack Overflow, a number of defunct message boards, and the Freenode IRC network. This episode is also sponsored by DataStax Accelerate. The conference I was originally going to keynote has been transformed. Accelerate, a no-squeal original series. A combination of live stream and on-demand, binge-worthy episodes that capture how users and enterprises alike are succeeding with NoSQL or NoSQL, your pronunciation is up to you, and Apache Cassandra. It's like Netflix, but without the calories. Sign up at datastax.com/accelerate. Do it more quickly. That's why it's called Accelerate. Introducing AWS cost categories. Rather than fix the billing system, AWS decides instead to launch AWS cost categories systems manager cost manager in order to give accountants a rudimentary course in regular expressions. This is handy and will continue to erode the value proposition of a number of existing cloud cost management platforms. Introducing AWS Elemental Link. A device to send live video to AWS. This is effectively a bridge from your HDMI outputting camera into storing that video directly in S3. Handy for some folks, especially the S3 billing system, but I'm still trying to figure out if I have a use for this thing or not. Time will tell. Introducing multi-region infrastructure deployment. Now, don't get too excited here. It's an AWS solution rather than a full AWS service. Sounds similar, but the key differentiator is in the number of other services you'll have to wire together with Lambda functions to make the entire contraption work at all. Now, easily identify the identity responsible for the actions performed using IAM roles. Blameless postmortems and that headline clearly do not see the world eye to eye. Announcing TorchServe, an open source model server for PyTorch. Stinging from accusations of strip mining open source, AWS decides to demonstrate through TorchServe that they're committed to burning it down instead. And who better to partner with to burn down open source with than the dumpster trash goblins at Facebook? They're just checking all the boxes this week, aren't they? AWS Chatbot, chat ops for Slack and Chime. You now have another place to ignore all the AWS bill warnings, your Slack workspace. The inclusion of Amazon Chime in this is an obvious joke because it pretty much only works for Amazonians, and no one at Amazon apparently has ever seen an AWS bill, or else they'd have done something by now about the nightmare of complexity that they continue to inflict upon their customers. New Amazon Keyspaces for Apache Cassandra is now generally available. This is what they were calling Managed Cassandra, and now they're calling it Keyspaces. Why? Well, a space for your key is known as a lock. Amazon locks are now available for all your Cassandra, but don't call it that anymore needs. Announcing Amazon AppFlow. AppFlow now solves the incredibly difficult business problem of how can I shovel piles and piles of otherwise worthless data generated by other systems into a place where AWS can now charge me by the gigabyte for it. AppFlow solves that for you. AWS Transfer for FTP and FTPS in addition to existing SFTP, and of course they call it the AWS Transfer Family, which don't even get me started on that. I hate this enhancement so much, but it is incredibly useful for exactly the kind of terrible ancient customer you'd imagine when I say the word FTP. I am glad that this exists, and I'm more glad that I have no need whatsoever to ever use this thing myself. Now open AWS Africa, Cape Town region. I took a look at the price list for everything in this region, and oh my stars, is the Cape Town region expensive AF South 1. Yes, it's AF South 1. I don't apologize for that pun. You have to live with it. Introducing the AWS CDK Public Roadmap. Well, this is the first time I've seen a map that not only wants me to drive into the bay, but explicitly tells me that's what I'm doing. Using AWS CodeBuild to execute administrative tasks. Exciting. I can't wait to kick off my Fire Steven workflow. Enroll existing AWS accounts into AWS Control Tower. How do I enroll existing accounts into Control Tower is such a baseline question that I'm surprised the first executive to whom the product's six-pager was presented didn't interrupt the reading to ask it. The answer's finally here, and unfortunately, it involves a custom Python script, opinionated use of GNU screen, a whole bunch of CloudFormation, and egregious waiting times. But it works. Kind of. How to track changes to secrets stored in AWS Secrets Manager using AWS Config and AWS Config Rules from their security blog. I'm not sure which leadership principle, never enhance a service when you can badly leverage a different service to do the job poorly instead, falls under, but it is clearly alive and well at AWS. And lastly, AWS IQ waives fees until June 30th of 2020. That's right, AWS IQ, for those who haven't had the pleasure, is similar to Upwork, only it's aimed squarely at AWS use cases. They are not taking fees from either the experts or the buyers on that platform, so check it out. For what it's worth, I've been using it myself for a few various small tasks, and it's been a mostly good experience. That's AWS IQ. Awesome service, traditionally terrible name. And that's what happened last week in the world of AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. This is the AWS Morning Brief. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you've hated this podcast, please leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts and tell me exactly which region is better than Cape Town.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.